Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Here at Open House, we love a series when we seize the opportunity to look more deeply into a specific area of life, faith or culture over a few consecutive weeks. Now, I know that we've kind of missed the whole New Year's resolution thing, being March after all. However, if we were to create a supersized wheelie bin of aspirations, I suspect we'd be able to put most of them under the heading of living a good life. Living a life maxed out. I want to live my life for something. Perhaps to be a catalyst for change, for goodness. So our first series of the year is Living the Good Life. In this series, we are going to cover forgiveness and gratitude, friendship, creativity, and we're going to start with goodness, kindness. Mark McCrindle is one of the world's leading social researchers. He spent a great deal of time asking us Aussies questions about our attitudes to kindness in his book, The Power of Good: True Stories of Kindness from Total Strangers. Mark, thanks for joining us in Open House for 2014. You would understand better than most how we're living our lives in 2014. We're spending more time at work. We're carrying more debt than any generation before us. We're more sceptical, in fact, about the intent of other strangers when they enter our lives. Is kindness under threat?
Well, in our country, it's part of our DNA as Australians. It's the land of the fair go. Mateship is core to who we are. Being neighbourly, you know, helping others out. No worries, mate, giving others a hand. This is part of our lexicon. It's part of our approach. And it is still very strong. You know, that Aussie spirit, the spirit of the diggers, the lucky country. No one is self-made in this place. It's because others help you out and you have a bit of good fortune along the way. I think that's what we recognise about this place, and the community gives it strength, and that requires us helping others out. That's still very strong in the Australian community.
Sure, we're no worries. We're the most relaxed country in the world. Nothing gets us down. We're here for each other. But in real terms, is that the case any longer? We're busier than we ever have been. We're more stressed financially than we ever have been. Our budgets are extended far farther as a proportion of our income than they ever have been. Do we have space for goodness as much as we used to?
Well, that's true. It's under pressure. In some places, it's being squeezed out. And I think that's a good analysis of Australia today, Duane, you know, that these are the complex times, and we're in front of more screens than ever. And even when we've got an idle minute, perhaps waiting for the bus, we pull out the screen rather than, you know, have a chat with the bloke beside us. That's part of the challenge of modern living. And people are in a rush to get from one appointment to the next, or pick up the kids and squeezing in, let me in. And perhaps not as that civility is perhaps not as evident as it once was when we had a bit more time. However, it doesn't take too much to get below the surface of our busy urban living to find that neighbourliness, that community is still alive. In fact, we're seeing the resurgence of that. If you look in the inner parts of our cities these days, as more couples move in, as more people move in to live in the inner areas, we're seeing community gardens be set up. We're seeing a cafe lifestyle emerge. We're seeing people start to know their neighbours a bit more. Now, what fights against that is that we're more mobile these days. The average renter stays just 1.8 years per home. The average person with a mortgage moves on every 8 years rather than 20 or 30 years of home ownership like our parents had. Now, when you've been there for a generation, you really know your neighbours and those way up the street. But we are more mobile. We move more frequently. We're changing jobs more. So this does, in a sense, create a blockage to community. But despite all of that, we still are, it still is alive and well in the Australian psyche. And, you know, that's a positive thing.
Clearly, we are born with the need for people to be good to us. Are we finding it more difficult to be good to others, though, because of those pressures of life?
We are. I mean, maybe the busyness of life squeezes out that desire, that willingness to go and open a door for someone or help someone pick up the things that they've dropped. Just that looking out for others. You know, when we get busier, we tend to focus more on our own agenda and our next appointment. However, we surveyed Australians and continue to do so in these very areas, and we found that more than 9 in 10 Australians say that they have helped out a stranger in need. Now, that's a pretty high benchmark. We're not talking about helping a family member or a friend, someone you know or a neighbour. We're talking about helping a stranger, coming out of your way to help them. And 9 in 10 Australians have done that. In fact, we found that more than 7 in 10 do it on a regular basis. Now, wow. It might be something small like grabbing someone's trolley and putting it away while you put yours away, or helping someone carry their bags. We're not necessarily talking about giving a big donation to a stranger, but it is part of how we operate in this country. And where we don't see it as much, it's only coming around, we found in our research, because people are unsure. Like the fellow's thinking, well, should I open the door for the young lady? Well, maybe they'll take offense to that. Maybe blokes shouldn't do that anymore. So there's some insecurities as to why we don't step out of our box as much, but nonetheless, it's still there below the surface.
Are we okay with being the recipient of goodness? Because that's the other part of that same coin. I might be reluctant to offer my chair to someone, but then I'm reluctant because I'm worried about their response. I am preconditioned in a way to say, if I do this, am I saying something about them that they may not appreciate? That would speak to us being more reluctant than ever before, perhaps, to accept a gift of goodness.
That's true. And, you know, we are proudly independent and we do have that sense of pride in terms of, you know, I can get by. But I think we all acknowledge that, you know, we would be nothing without the intervention of others. And we asked Australians that same question. Have you been helped by other people? And again, the majority of Australians say they have been. You know, that kindness of a stranger has had an impact significantly in their life. So I think we can all acknowledge that, you know, without the intervention of others, I mean, even getting to work, without someone letting you in because you chose the wrong lane, it would have been a hassle. You know, we all get by through the graciousness and goodness of others helping us out. So I think we have to be relaxed enough and humble enough to accept that. Otherwise, you know, we end up all as silos trying to get by in a busy city.
If goodness was a crowd pleaser, and it seems to be, when I come to work, if I've been cut off in the lane driving to work on one of the motorways, that's the first thing I'll share with somebody as I arrive at work. But it's never a headline in the news at night. And yet news bulletins presumably are built around people's attention spans and what gains their attention. So if they are pleasing us, why doesn't goodness play a greater part in our media in contemporary Australian communities? In other words, where does goodness fit in the hierarchy of our needs as an everyday Aussie?
Yes, I think that's an important issue. You know, we've surveyed Australians asking them, do you want to see more good news or do you feel that there's too much bad news in the media? And here, 93% said that there is too much negative news around and they want more positive news. You would think then, well, why don't we see more positive news? And it's part of the human psyche, I think, that it's like if there's a crash taking place, you don't want to watch it, but you can't take your eyes off it. And I think that bad news gets our attention. Bad news gets cut through and suddenly we're watching that screen, we're putting away the others, even though afterwards it doesn't make us feel good. And I think that's where, you know, we've got the mixed attitudes in the human heart, and while we want more positive news, we tend to keep looking at the negative stuff, and that's what keeps getting served up to us. But certainly, what has an impact in community, what's going to help us help others, is when, you know, we've seen something good, or when someone's been kind to us, we're more likely to pass it on or be in that frame of mind where we'll have a look out for others rather than, again, just focusing on our own lives.
It would seem that goodness now more than ever needs to be an intentional action on our part. While it remains important to all of us, we've got to make a bigger space in our lives for it. Do you have any hints based on your experience, your research, the stories in your book about people who have found a really effective way to pierce the busyness, the aggravation, the consternation in our life? Are there any tools, lessons that you might like to give us in this moment?
Yeah, I think it's living with an otherness. You know, we tend to live with a centricity, a self, you know, focus, that we're the center of the universe. But if we can have that almost like Copernicus of old, that realized, hang on, the universe doesn't rotate around the Earth. The Earth actually rotates around the sun here, and have that own little revolution in our own life, that, you know, the entire world, with one little exception, is comprised of others. And so if we can look out and live with that otherness, you know, walk slowly through the crowd, not just look straight ahead or down at the pathway or indeed down at the phone, but take those blinkers off and look around a little bit. I think that's when we start to notice things, and when we notice it, the goodness I think will help us step out and do those things. But I think that's the way to live. And where Australians are not stepping out, again, we found in our research, not because of the lack of wanting to help, it's just the lack of not knowing how to help or not being aware of the situation. We looked at how Australians gave with these big disasters compared to other nations, the Asian tsunami of near on a decade ago. And we found that if you look in the UK, they gave $3 per person, and Americans gave 88 cents per person, and Australians gave $5 for every man, woman, and child in this country.
So that one event?
That one event, exactly. We per capita tend to give more when our hearts are turned, or when we see the issues, whether it be, you know, the bushfires, whether it be the floods. Aussies open their wallets and their hearts and give. But they've got to first be made aware of the need. And if they don't know about it, or if they're busy with their own lives, that's where they won't give.
Proximity must play a part in that. When I look at, say, the emerging humanitarian disaster in Syria, you'd have to argue, I think, with good reason, that Australians are less concerned about that than they have been with nearer disasters, for instance, Typhoon Haiyan.
Our research shows that you're right, the proximity thing is key, and you know, part of that is understandable. I mean, we don't have a responsibility to every part of the world and every person in the world, but we do have a responsibility to those in our circle, those near us, and as a nation, that means those nations near us. So I think that is important and understandable. But there are some other factors that sort of govern this. One is Australians say, well, I don't know if I can really make a difference, or I don't know if this money is going to make a difference. So I think it is imperative that they see the impacts of their giving or of their help. And that's probably why we do tend to give, not always just through the big national appeals, but just in direct ways. Aussies are there to not just volunteer with the big organisations, but help their mate or help their neighbour up the road. And you see it when there's a disaster. Australians not doing it through official channels, by, you know, being part of the SES perhaps, but by jumping out there and helping someone, you know, move those goods as the flood approaches or lay some sandbags. It's this just rolling up the sleeves and giving it a go way rather than through the official channels. That's partly how we do it. So I think that, you know, this sense of, where will my money really make a difference does prohibit some Australians giving through those traditional appeals.
So we're confirmed that we still inherently have a goodness gene. Is goodness contextual then? For instance, you're talking about development reflecting a maturity and changing the way we look at goodness, where it's hard to judge a good 13-year-old boy versus a good 21-year-old man. Somewhere along the line, the definition of what is good must change on that continuum.
Yeah, it's definitely linked to our comparison with those around us. And this is where we can end up on a little bit of a slippery slope of comparison. We say, well, yeah, I'm good compared to that guy.
Yeah.
And so as long as who we're comparing ourselves with is sort of slightly not as good as us, we can all feel good about ourselves.
Yes.
Which is probably not the best way to go. And I think that's where, you know, we look to great heroes of the past and great, you know, icons, great people who have made a big difference, and say, you know, they operate as a bit of a benchmark for us all, you know, whether it be in our lifetime or in recent history, you know, a Mother Teresa, you know, or a Martin Luther King, you know, these great leaders, or even more historically, Jesus Christ, you know, that have lived these lives that become examples or benchmarks. We find constantly in research that people can't relate to a list of values, you know, be like this and you list off values or character traits. But if you point to someone and you say you're following their footsteps, they get that and they respond well to that. So I think being an example, not comparing ourselves just to those around, but sometimes, you know, being an example and comparing ourselves to those, you know, great leaders of the past, I think that's also helpful.
So clearly there's a role for faith in goodness.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that does require, you know, something external to ourselves. If we just think about goodness as coming from our own human heart, I think we can be a little bit deceived and start to get a little bit, perhaps even, I guess, arrogant about it, rather than realize that actually there's a lot of bad in us as well. But I think through faith and through, you know, the example of others, I think we can, you know, step up and really, you know, live a goodness that doesn't depend on our own strength and ideas, but comes externally.
Mark McCrindle, to summarise, we have the need to be good. We have the need for others to be good to us. Can I ask as a final question then, what are the benefits of goodness, being the good giver, the kindness giver?
Well, it changes us more than it changes others. And I think a lot of people, you know, they say, oh, I almost feel selfish in volunteering here or selfish in giving this because I feel so good about it. I think that highlights so much, you know, that it actually benefits and blesses us as the giver more even than the recipient. I mean, that's the miraculous nature of giving and goodness, that that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And we surveyed Australians asking them different well-known quotes, and one of them that the majority of Australians correctly identified as, and it's the most well-known statement of Jesus, was do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And I think that golden rule, as it's been called, is a universal one, but it's well understood by Australians. And I think, you know, when you live that way, you not only make a difference, you send ripples through your community that then flow on, but you actually end up living a better life and feeling better for your outcomes yourself. And so it definitely comes back to bless the giver even more than the receiver.
Have you got a goodness story in your research that we could wrap up with? A moment in life that has come by your notice that is for you testament to the power of goodness and kindness?
Yeah, well, what prompted me to write this book, The Power of Good, was that when my wife and I were backpacking in our early days of marriage around Australia, a little incident, a tiny little blessing we received came to us, but it had a significant impact on our journey. We were running late backpacking. We would walk from one place to the next, so we were getting to the airport to fly to the next city. We were in Adelaide, and we were going to fly on, and we looked at the watch, and we knew we had left our time too late, and the flight was going to be closed in about 5 or 6 minutes, and we were about 20 minutes walk away. There was no taxis to hail as we walked our way down the road towards the airport. We just couldn't see how it was possibly going to happen. And because we had bought these cheap tickets, you know, you show up on time, you use them or you lose them. And we didn't have the funds to work out how we're going to buy the ticket to the next place. And someone driving past, a young bloke in a ute, he would have been about 20 years of age, he could see us clearly rushing, and the only thing down this road was the airport. And so he pulled over and he said, "Guys, can I give you a hand?" We said, "That's amazing, because we're going to get on a flight which closed in about 5 minutes. He said, "Jump on." We threw our backpacks in the back of the ute, jumped in, and 3 minutes later we were at the gate and we were checking in and we made our flight, just. And a minor thing for him. But finally when we landed and we sort of, quickly, or I think we were on the plane actually, we were like, whoa, how did that happen? And that little act of kindness, a minor thing, has now made a major difference to our holiday, to our next trip, and we really appreciate it. And we thought, it's those little acts of kindness that make the big difference in lives and in existence, and I think that's what spreads onto others. So that tiny little act from some anonymous guy who we'll probably never see again prompted us to write this book, and here we are having conversation, and that's, I think, the power of good and the ripples that it sends.
Mark McCrindle, brilliant to have you in as the first step in a number of discussions on living the good life. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Dwayne.
And if you'd like to find out more about Mark's work, and in particular the book The Power of Good, True Stories of Kindness from Total Strangers, then mccrindle.com.au could be your next step.